Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tracy Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. So Anthony Edwards decided that the Timberwolves weren't going to see a dip in the wake of Karl Anthony Towns' meniscus injury last night, Pat?
I looked it up. It's been a much-used word when you refer to athletes, and many athletes have a mercurial nature, right? Sudden and unpredictable changes of mood and mind. As the old cliche goes, look it up, and Anthony Edwards' picture is in the dictionary next to mercurial. And last night, he was on the high end of mercurial. That is the best I've ever seen him play last night. That is the best I've ever seen him play. He made all his shots. He took the right shots. He made all his shots. And then, of course, he damn near killed himself on the basket, blocking the last shot. And I think the referees were so in awe of him getting up there and blocking it, they didn't take a real good look at whether he hit anybody or not. They just, I thought it was clean, but you know, it was generally speaking, when there's that much action, the home team might get a call, but man alive, that was unbelievable. And then he had a post game interview, which he was just giddy as hell and was rubbing the top of his head where he hit it on the rim. It was phenomenal. So, now we'll see. Now we'll see what happens next. Yes. The difference between this three that he hit was the big one, was he kind of did a couple of things and got over in front of the and shot it from instead of shooting it over from on the left side there, he got in front of the basket and shot it from right behind the arc downtown. But he did it in kind of rhythm instead of that, I'm going to shoot here. Don't worry. I don't worry about any of the rest of you. And he made it, but God, it was that last 5 minutes was fantastic.
I mean, we were just talking right before we hit the mics here. I don't know that I have ever seen, and he's like 6'5", so call him 6'5", a player 6'5", jump that high to where if there wasn't a rim or a backboard, I mean, his momentum was stopped suddenly by the underside of the rim and the backboard, Pat. That was that's the highest I've ever seen a player jump, I guess.
Well, in that situation, because in a lot of ways it was straight up. It wasn't, you know, he was in there contesting, and then you know, he just went straight up and went out of the air. And who was trying to shoot it for?
Nesmith. Well, ironically, Naismith or Nesmith, however you want.
Nesmith. Okay, he was shocked, man. That guy was.
Naismith would have been shocked watching that last night too.
Yeah, I don't think when he was charting out the game
right off the peach basket,
the doc probably didn't see that as a problem. Players leaping up and hitting their head on the rim. So
no,
back in 1880 or whatever the hell it was.
How did he not? How did he not get hurt though? Coming down, that was the like the banging your head off the rim looks like it hurts, but he just free fell down to the floor. That I thought, oh my God, he ain't getting up. That was incredible.
That was a long fall too, right? Yeah. Not so much hitting his head, but you know, breaking his tailbone or some damn thing. Now, I was in the vehicle in the first quarter last night, and of course it wasn't on the radio because these idiots don't have a radio broadcast anymore half the time or two-thirds of the time. But I was listening to NBA radio on satellite, right? And they said Ant had left in the first quarter with a turned ankle.
2 minutes in, yeah.
Yeah, he went over there and, I mean, he does that twice a week, right? He leaves in the first quarter and you think he's done. And
he's Xavier Rhodes, Pat.
Huh?
He is Xavier Rhodes in his prime, if you recall, would get hurt like in the first quarter. And you'd be like, oh, my God, the Vikings are screwed. And he'd be back like two series after.
Well, because when Judd and I were, you know, talking, we were talking yesterday, we were saying, well, they can survive Cat because they got, you know, Nas will play more minutes and, you know, they can figure out some things. But all of a sudden I said, the guy, the NBC, NBA radio made it sound like he might have broke his ankle. I said, nah, they lose both of them. They're not going to be in very good shape here. Yeah. And then I come back and he's winning the game for him. So that's mercurial. That's him, man. It's unbelievable.
The other impressive thing, so a couple things off that, 44 points, no turnovers, 38 minutes.
Yes.
And he shot the ball, what, 35 times? So he to be handling the ball and driving the action that much over the course of 2 hours and to not turn the ball over is one of, I think, his best accomplishments. Yes. And then this is from OptiStats. NBA guards in history, the last 20 years, to score 40 points or more in a game and block a shot in the final 3 seconds. Anthony Edwards and Kobe Bryant are the only two.
Okay. That's kind of putting it in a little special category there, you know, that how about the final 10 seconds? Did anybody do it in the final 10 seconds?
See if they can expand their search here.
Yeah. Stats do that. Come on, OptiStats.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, it was a fantastic performance by him. He drives me nuts, but last night it was just wow. It was just incredible.
You know what happens though when Carl's out, and he did this in the second half, and he did this like when Carl was out last year, I should say, the second half of last season. He does defer to Carl because Carl's been in the league for 6 more years, and so sometimes he'll let the Carl show play out on offense. When Carl's out, especially with this team where there is nobody else besides Anthony Edwards that can just get a basket, right? He goes into this mode a lot, and it's fun to watch how the team sort of, you know, molds around him. But it'll be interesting if Cat doesn't come back, and it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And they play pretty well, and they've got the second apron luxury tax. I mean, there's some foreshadowing here that's really interesting, Pat. Life without Carl.
Yeah, but then again, he could turn around and give you 7 turnovers and shoot 22% too. So it's not that we can't just expect this to be him, but it was, you know, that it obviously was one of the reasons he took over like he did. Now, one of the things we were reading is Jaden was going to have to take a bigger role. They let him handle the ball about 4 times, and they were lucky that he didn't throw it in the bleachers. So that kind of went away. That's not going to work. But, I mean, he just won the game all by himself last night. So it was phenomenal. And they can, you know, we forget that what they end up winning last year, just 42. Was that all they won? No, they won 42, but they did it without Cat for 50 some games. So they're used to playing a little bit without him. And they did give that Warren a little run right off the bat. That was kind of
interesting. he was pretty good considering how rusty he is. Guy hasn't played an NBA game all season.
But my guy Luka ain't going to get off the bench no matter what. Even if he can hit that corner shot, they're not interested in playing Luka, I guess. Maybe tonight though in Cleveland. Now is this like you're playing a really good team after that night? Is it after playing a game like that last night and Ant carrying you? You gotta expand your bench a little, don't you? And you know, if you get beat by 15, that's fine.
Schedule loss, is that what you're saying, Pat?
I think if they show up and play like Warriors tonight, it'll be against the trend of the NBA, that's for sure.
They've actually been they've been pretty good lately on the second game of back to backs, mm-hmm. which has been so they had Portland was one of them. So I don't know if that counts much the other night, but they won that game. Then they had the Memphis games. They're not playing the strongest teams, but they have won a bunch of second games on back to backs. But this is a Cleveland team that's they just came back from down 22 in the fourth quarter the other night against the Celtics.
They're good. They got a lot of good young players on that team. They are good. And you start this road trip six games without Cat. You don't know what's going on, and to win the first one against a pretty good club, Indiana's pretty good. Yes. And to win a first one just because Ant decides to win it is a pretty good way to start.
Yeah. So, all right, this is the last Friday Unchained before all hell breaks loose in the NFL. And you guys will do the Monday Unchained, and we'll have news coming out that morning. But it looks like all the sports books that are doing the, Kirk Cousins landing spots now have the Falcons, the easy favorite. I saw one of them. This is bookies.com for entertainment purposes only. They always put on there. But they now have the Falcons 1, the Raiders are number 2, and the Vikings are 3. But it's been oddly quiet on the Vikings front. Like all this Falcons team, ordinarily you'd hear the Vikings are making a push or something, and you've heard nothing since the combine on that, Pat.
No, you haven't. And everybody is taking O'Connell's last interview down there to be a sort of a we're not gonna get him type of statement. I think it's being interpreted a little more than what actually was being said, but I don't know. Do you think deep in their hearts they want to have $50 million to give to other people?
Yes.
And take a shot with a young quarterback that gives them, that they might go 6-11 next year or 7-10, which they did this year, but get a good draft choice again next year and have a new quarterback that you break in halfway through the year and, get on with life. Justin Jefferson loves it. Justin Jefferson loves anybody who can throw him the football. He doesn't, it's just that he didn't, he was missing when they were, they put a 5-game winning streak together without him last year, but, He'll take anybody who can throw him the ball. It's not like he's joined at the hip with Kirk Cousins for God.
Didn't his biggest game of the year yardage wise come with Nick Mullins? He had 192 yards against the Lions. 12 catches for 192 were both highs against the Lions.
Want Nick back as the wily veteran. Nick is fun. He throws a damn thing anywhere. Throws it all over the place.
Anytime. You know?
Three interceptions, but 400 yards. He's if you're gonna get the kid and you need the veteran, bring back Nick. Bring back Nick. He's a gunslinger.
I think the Vikings, Patrick, are tired of meeting Kirk's demands. That's what I think. I think they finally said, "Look, here's what we can give you. Here's what we will." And it's probably really, really fair. But you know what? This is a guy who quietly behind the scenes, and I mean, to his credit, he's always got, guaranteed money, 3 years, and then a 2-year, and then a 1-year bridge on top of that extension. And they've never really had a backup behind Kirk that could replace Kirk because Kirk doesn't like that. I think they're tired of meeting the expectations of a guy who's been to 2 playoffs and won 1 playoff game.
Don't you think it comes down to them, though? I mean, and I don't blame him. This is his last chance to get a 3-year deal, right? I don't blame him, but nope. They don't want to give him a 3-year deal. That's the problem, the guaranteed money, I would think. They'll give him one, maybe.
Here's the latest from, I'll hit the official sounder here for you. It's Kirk Watch. You like 2024, Pat. And Field Yates, former Bill Belichick intern back 15 years ago. Field Yates apparently said he wouldn't be surprised if Kirk gets a 2-year, $100 million fully guaranteed contract from the Falcons.
From the Falcons. Now, is Field another one of the former executives who now has a national podcast or something?
He's ESPN. He mostly does fantasy stuff for ESPN. Oh,
okay. All right.
But he still has some connections. But okay. 2 years, Kirk is the all-time great negotiator, but if
he'll get it.
If this leads to $100 million over 2 years, fully guaranteed, then man, get that guy a gold negotiation jacket. Bronze bust in.
But Atlanta, I just don't buy the idea that they've been in a slump ever since the second half of the Super Bowl. Let's face it, they haven't been worth a damn since they blew the Super Bowl. And why would they do that? Like, they got a chance to draft a quarterback. Why don't they draft?
Because Arthur Blank wants to win before he dies.
Well, you know,
it's the Mike Ilitch thing. It's exactly that. He thinks Kirk can win, and if they draft a guy, it's going to take some development.
That's the opposite of me. I don't want the Vikings to win before I die. I don't mind them if they go back to the Super Bowl and win one for the thumb, but I want to on my deathbed. Just think those, I never had to watch them win a Super Bowl and listen to all that crap. So anyway, I'm just the opposite of Arthur Blank, but then again, he has more invested than I do. So
yes,
he does. He's probably about ready to build another new stadium down there, right? That one they got now is getting to be about 20 years old, isn't it?
15, no, 20? It's like five years old. They built a new one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. They've built
the Georgia Dome's history.
Yeah. They don't play in the Georgia Dome anymore?
No, they're in I believe it's
the Mercedes.
It's a new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, not to be confused with the one that the Superdome was named after.
Oh, okay. That's right.
And if I'm not mistaken,
did they put that way downtown. Out in the suburbs again?
Oh,
they
downtown.
Downtown. Unlike the Braves, who got as far away from soul food as they possibly could, move 20 miles out.
Well, I think the Falcons kept the famous thing was they opened the stadium and they kept the concession prices like the Masters, basically, where you get $3 glass of beer.
Yeah, they kept them cheap for a while. That's true. And if they pay Kirk $100 million, they might have to goose him up a little bit.
But it won't be Kirk's fault.
How about that? Get the Kirk dog here. It's $14 for a hot dog. Help us pay for Kirk.
Yeah. The Kirk pint. Here's the Kirk pint. It's $27.
It's like the Grey Goose NIL cans at Gopher games, right? Every 10 cents off every can goes to keep basketball players.
Happened to stumble across something on the FM super sports station in town here.
KFXN.
And, KFXN. It was over the... it was after 6 o'clock, and it was apparently a highlight or something show. And the morning host was arguing with somebody about whether Kirk was going to a better team in Atlanta than he was here. But the level of depression and just mentioning Kirk was rather humorous.
I'm guessing this is more like middle to late morning than early morning host.
Yeah, not early morning, not early morning, but the mid morning guy. Yeah, he was.
I think he does get a little sad when Zimmer was on the way out. It was sad.
Yeah, but this is worse, man. This is worse, isn't it? I mean, he and Kirk. Kirk helped convert him, didn't he? For God's sakes, he made him into a very religious fellow.
So, no, I don't know if Kirk has that power necessarily.
Kirk will open a Bible.
Kirk's got a lot of power.
Yeah, he does. He does. Well,
so you're predicting Falcons on Monday. What's your prediction?
I don't know.
Commanders? How about the Commanders?
I think Kirk in Vegas would be great, don't you?
Kirk, it would be amazing. I've been telling Judd that for like 3 months. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah, I know. So
Cosmopolitan Kirk.
Who we got coaching the Raiders now?
Antonio Pierce, former right. Giants.
He came
player.
Halfway through the season.
The interim is the full
God. They're paying. They're paying former coaches a lot of money out there, aren't they?
That's why they retained them, because they couldn't afford to hire a new one.
but then they
also won a bunch of games with him, and he inspired them.
It just hit me. Elvis Kirk, his new thing instead of Kirko change. He can go to game showing up dressed in the 1976 Elvis garb.
He'll do something very humorous for the first day of practice if he's in Vegas, and we'll all chuckle. All that Kirk, he said, yeah, cut up. You know, so get rid of him. Get rid of him. I don't want to go off as big a rant as I did the other day. But
no, well, that rant was, I think, your most listened to podcast episode of the year so far.
Yeah, you
so.
Might want to replicate.
Yes, I did get a few just asking me to die and stuff like that.
Jeez.
Don't worry.
You know, that's my problem with football dialogue in America. Mm-hmm. You can't have an opinion about a quarterback without someone saying, I hope you die, troll.
Well, they wanted me to die the other day because I laughed at the idea of Cam Christie going to the NBA. There's buzz about Cam Christie going to the NBA, so I tweeted back, enjoy 3 years in the G League, fella, you know, because that kid's not ready at all to play in the NBA, and they got all mad.
Why is that controversial?
Bowlers were very upset at Pat.
He should just come back for another year, and maybe after another year he'll be ready to play pro. I don't know.
Yeah, a couple of years.
You're a hater. You know,
the response I saw to that was definitely, by the way, full disclosure, Babu, no question at all.
Oh yeah,
because he told you to back off. Hey, enjoy this, okay, Pat? Yeah. That's bad. That's bad, no question.
And then to prove my ignorance, he went 2-for-13 in the next game. So that was
all your fault.
You know, in the stinkeroo.
Which actually might have been a better percentage than the team's shooting percentage that night, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes, that's right. That was that was not good. They all turned on Ben now. 2 weeks ago, we better give Ben a long-term extension, and now we got to get rid of Ben. So.
No, the Gophers are going to be what, like a 3 seed in the NIT, right? They got a shot to hang another NIT banner, I feel like.
Do you really? Yeah, it's been a while.
Every 10, 15 years, we have a great Patino? Run. Vashawn Leonard.
They took one of them away from us, though, didn't they? They took the 90s.
The Vashawn Leonard one, right? Yeah, the Clem Vashawn Leonard one. Townsend Orr, yeah.
That's the banners back up. Yeah. With what's going on?
NCAA. Okay.
Who from the end, if you were to physically hang those banners back up, who from the NCAA office is going to fly to Minneapolis, we'll get a ladder for you. Are they actually going to come and take the banners down?
No.
Just put them back up.
And bring the team back and honor them.
Yes.
While Clem's alive, let's get them all back in the barn.
They didn't want to let Clem back in the gym when they honored the 89-90, the 90 team, the 89-90 team that went to the Final Eight.
Well, they do. I mean, couple years or every 5 years, they do bring Clem back and they go to the back room at J.D. Hoyt's, all the former players. And they just do like a reunion gathering at J.D. Hoyt's. But he's not allowed back in the barn because.
No, I talk to him about every few months. He's hanging in there and hiring some other guys to work it for him, obviously. Yvette, who's great, she's had some health problems. So anyway, hang in there, Clem.
Well,
let's sell some cars, huh?
Yeah, let's talk about if you're looking to drive a road trip to Atlanta to watch your favorite quarterback play football. What kind of car should you hop into?
I think you should hop into a Buick or a GMC truck. You can go to Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers. Very low interest rates right now if you want to have them finance it for you, and which they do. I've done that a couple of times, and they'll take care of the financial. They'll make the deal happen for you out there, Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM Dealers, Apple Valley and Hastings. 4 different varieties. Such, even Suchi Boy was talking about this little station wagon type of vehicle they got now. He's got his eye on it. And when Such gets his eye on a car, that pretty much means he's going to get it. So it's kind of a little one. You got the SUVs, and then you got the smaller ones that's good enough if you're a hockey parent, but it's not one of the big ones that's going to take up the whole garage. So a lot of SUV options out there. They have 120 cars on a lot. Good used cars. I was telling you, I'm kind of sticking with my used car because I don't want all this technology that's screaming at me when I'm in my car now. I want my car to leave me alone and stop ringing bells at me. So, it's a Jim Paul Buick that I'm driving. Jim Paul, Brett Paul, Valley Group of GM dealers, Hastings, and my guys at Apple Valley.
Awesome. All right, Pat, we'll keep you posted. We'll keep you on the text thread for any Kirk Watch updates this weekend.
I'm heading down to the Big Ten Women's Tournament to remind everyone I discovered Caitlin Clark.
Brian Epstein of sports right here.
I looked it up when she played here that year, 3,100 people. And that was probably padded, right? When I went down to see her in Iowa, they announced 8,100, and they were very proud of 8,100. So now this phenomenon. I was at the cutting edge of this phenomenon, the Caitlin Clark phenomenon.
Yep. Put some respect on Pat's name.
Yes, that's right.
All you haters out there.
That's right.
All right. Royce.
See you. Goodbye.
All right. There he is. Royce Unchained here on Score North.